Now, both major political parties are being accused of neglecting landcare funding amid a federal election that's pretty heavily focused on climate change.
That's right. And landcare funding has almost halved from the more than $450 million it used to get a year between 2003 and 2013, during a decade of the Howard government. It's now $200 million a year under the current program. And Keith Bradby is a board member of the National Landcare, and he's also from WA. He says successive governments have neglected the movement and it really risks the vital work on farms and in wetlands and on coastal revegetation.
The essence of that is that the local community fabric has been suffering a death by 1,000 cuts over the last 15 or 20 years. And, you know, we have lost hundreds of the farmer-based groups that once functioned and played a vital role looking after the landscapes.
Now, the plea for landcare funding and commitment comes just as a UN-backed report warned the world will lose up to 1 million species from extinction because of human activity.
Yeah, that's right. So it's brought the Farmers for Climate Action group out loudly calling for whoever wins this election to deliver a plan on dealing with the effects of climate change on agriculture. The Chief Executive Officer, Verity Morgan-Schmidt, says farmers in her network have been in touch with her almost in tears about the loss of biodiversity.
Despite some of the spin, sometimes farmers are some of the strongest environmentalists. And, you know, I've had one farmer talking to me about their devastation over the numbat and its declining population in Western Australia. I've had others talking to me about mallee fowls. You know, they're deeply committed to their location. There's a really strong sense of place that many farmers have, and that, you know, you're concerned that this, what we've seen anecdotally, has just been confirmed in science. And that's really confronting.
One of the other specifically rural issues has been the discussion around live exports, and northern cattle producers in particular will be watching very closely who wins the federal election and wondering how a change of government might affect them.
Yeah, that's because Labor has promised to phase out live sheep exports, but not cattle. But some in the industry are still concerned about the future of the trade under a shortened government. The live cattle trade to Indonesia is worth $1.2 billion a year, and the cattle industry argues mortality rates for cattle to Indonesia are as low as 0.01%. Now, Mount Ringwood Station in the Northern Territory, the cattleman there, Marcus Rathsman, is quite concerned.
Well, please do your due diligence, look at how the trade operates, you know, take the time, and also look into the countries where we send the product. I think, while we're not afraid of a Labor government, we are afraid of a minority government where the Greens may control the agenda, yeah. I think most producers are somewhat fearful of that.
Labor is promising tens of millions of dollars in funding to monitor water quality in regional communities across the Murray-Darling Basin, which, of course, has been a really big issue, particularly in New South Wales in the recent drought.
Yeah, that's right. So the Shadow Minister for Environment and Water, Tony Burke, has reaffirmed support for the Murray-Darling Basin plan. He said Labor would deliver more money for water metering on the river and monitoring river health. He's also promised to spend more on research than the coalition has promised, and also on the impacts of climate change on the Murray-Darling Basin. But he's also said that there's going to be more money for Aboriginal communities if Labor wins to have an allocation of water.
We'll also invest in an additional $50 million in cultural water. It'll be in the hands of the First Nations up and down the basin as to whether they want to use that for the direct agricultural purposes themselves, whether they want to sell it back into the market on annual allocations, or whether they want to use it for cultural purposes. But that would be their call.
Now, water is one of the biggest issues for voters. Both farmers and communities right along the Murray-Darling Basin are talking non-stop about this issue. And for seats like Farrer in the sort of southern Riverina area of New South Wales, it's traditionally been held by the Nationals and Liberals, and by a pretty whopping margin. It's now considered to be in play because farmers are so upset about the loss of irrigation water, high water prices, and a lot want changes to the Murray-Darling Basin plan and even a stop to water buybacks for the environment.
Yeah, that's right. So Labor, however, says more water can be bought back for the environment to restore the wetlands and the ecosystems. But the National Senator Bridget McKenzie said this week that more water buybacks won't happen without taking into account the impact on farmers and regional towns.
For so long, the left side of politics talked about the triple bottom line. Well, hello, we're trying to actually deliver that with people as important as pelicans, and they are standing in the way and they're preferencing the environment over our communities and our productive capacity. It won't just undermine local communities, it'll undermine our national economy.
One of the other very significant issues in the past year and a fierce area of debate for farmers is the dairy industry and how to solve the crisis of people leaving dairy farming.
Yeah, that's right. So Agriculture Minister David Littleproud this week rejected Labor's push to have a floor price on milk.
The reality is you set a floor price, it sets a price above what processors are prepared to pay, it gets a glut, and then effectively it all falls apart. And you're talking about a perishable product. And the other dangerous and reckless thing of this is you tear away at the trade agreements that we put in place, not just for dairy, but for every commodity.
And Labor's agriculture spokesman Joel Fitzgibbon said the dairy industry needs major structural intervention.
We are losing our dairy industry. And it's not an overstatement to say if we don't do something about it, we won't have a dairy industry in this country. We'll be importing even our drinking milk in powdered form. Now, we've been responsible. We've said we'd have the ACCC test assess and help us design this.
Now, one of the best things, of course, about our democracy is the Saturday morning fundraiser, dubbed the Democracy Sausage Sizzle, but some remote areas could miss out.
Yeah, I love the smell of fried onion and fatty sausage while you're lining up to vote.
There's got to be some perks, hasn't there?
Yeah, that's right. The Democracy Sausage. But for voters in remote Western Queensland, there'll be no chance of that. The Australian Electoral Commission has closed its booth at Wyandra. That's the blink and you'll miss it town west of St George. Now farmers are gearing up to travel long distances to polling booths, like grazier Peter Lucas at Cliffdale Station near Wyandra.
But voting day was sort of more of a social occasion for most of the people out here. They'd all meet in there and do their voting and have a few beers and the yarn and so forth and head home. But now, of course, we can always do a postal vote. There's nothing wrong with that, I suppose, but it just takes that bit of socialisation out of the voting day.
And the sad story about this, apparently, is that a lot of those polling booths are shut this time round because of cuts to the Australian Electoral Commission. And they perhaps didn't think to talk to the significance of going in to vote in a regional town, Serena.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, you come in and you have a special day with your mates. Maybe you can do it without actually voting on the day.
You can have your own debate in the pub. Fun times. Thanks, Serena.
Thank you, Edwina.
Serena Locke there with this week's Rural News.